Attention, you're listening to the Todd Huff Radio Show, America's home for conservative, not bitter talk radio. Be advised that the content of this program has been documented to prevent and even cure liberalism, and listening may cause you to lean to the right. Here's your conservative, but not bitter host, Todd Huff.
All right, my friends, you've tuned in here to America's Home for Conservative, Not Bitter Talk. I have made a minor adjustment here in the studio. In fact, right before coming on air, I normally reach to my right to grab the microphone. It has moved now to my left. In fact, I reached up and grabbed air a second ago. So anyway, we're making those changes as we are out and about on the Truth Tour. Again, we are broadcasting this week. We've been in Marathon, Florida, in the Florida Keys, and we will be making our way up the coast, west coast of Florida here next week, just trying to grow the program, increase awareness, reach more people, and we appreciate those of you who listen to this program. But we made these changes here in the studio, because we're going to be putting some video out on social media. And for those of you that doubt that I have a face for radio, you will in fact see that that is the case as we release some video snippets of the program in the days and weeks to come. If you want to be part of today's discussion, thoughts, opinions, adoration and praise, all those things should be sent to my email address. That email is Todd, T-O-D-D, at toddhuffshow.com, or you can text 317-210-2830, 317-210-2830. Let's get right to it here today. So I want to start again. I know the past couple of days we have discussed this, but there's a few more things I want to hit on before moving into some other issues that we've not gotten to yet this week. But I want to talk January 6th and Tucker Carlson and the additional video that was released by Speaker McCarthy. Let me just read from you. I'm looking here in our stack of stuff, which, by the way, hat tip to the great Rush Limbaugh. We have borrowed that phrase. He used to call his stack of articles the stack of stuff. We now have that digitally on our website. If you want to see anything that we are talking about, read the article, what have you, just go to the toddhuffshow.com. And you'll see the stack of stuff. But anyhow, so I want to read you some of these headlines that are in today's stack of stuff. Number one, January 6th committee chairman says that committee members, right, this was the previous, this committee does not, it's been disbanded. It's been disbanded under the Republican-controlled House of Representatives. Speaker McCarthy no longer has a January 6th committee as Nancy Pelosi did. So that committee is disbanded. So the former chairman of that committee, has actually now been on record, or I should say is on record, as saying that the committee members did not have access to surveillance footage from the Capitol riot. So just let that sink in. His name, by the way, Benny Thompson, of course, a Democrat, as the chair of the former committee under the Democrat-controlled House. So just let that sink in for a moment. We're going to touch on these things momentarily. I just want to read you kind of the high points on some of the other things that have transpired pertaining to January 6th, the video footage, and all of these sorts of things. So we've got that out there. We also have, let me find. Okay, so we've got Speaker McCarthy, who has now agreed or announced that he would be or will be releasing all of the January 6th videos to the public. He's taken some criticism for releasing them first and foremost to Tucker Carlson. I partially understand the criticism. I think I commented on this yesterday or perhaps even Wednesday. It's to me, it's not a super huge deal because this is where we're going to end up. Everybody who wants to see these is going to eventually get to see these. The problem is the media doesn't want to see these. The media doesn't want you to see these. So, you know, in retrospect, it might have been the right, I don't know. It might have been the right move because now people are making wild allegations about Tucker Carlson, quote unquote, cherry picking and that sort of thing from the video. So it's gotten a lot of headlines and media attention. So maybe this will create awareness of what actually is going on. So we've got that playing out. We've also got, I couldn't believe this when I read this. Now, the heading that I have on our Stack of Stuff page says, did the January 6th committee add sound effects to the videos? So this is a story at hotair.com written by Ed Morrissey, written on Wednesday, written and posted at hotair.com on Wednesday. this article, which references a report, a story written by Miranda Devine of the New York Post. Basically, the allegation here, I'm going to read you a snippet from that piece. It reads as follows, but when you see what Carlson's team, this is Tucker Carlson's team, has put together over the past few weeks of combing through thousands of hours of video, you'll be struck by how different the reality was inside the building that day compared to the J6, the January 6th committee's deceptively edited primetime dramas produced by a former ABC News president for maximum emotional impact. For instance, this again, Miranda Devine, she writes, Carlson's team says the J6 committee added audio to silent CCTV footage, closed circuit TV footage, inserting screams and other crowd mayhem sounds to make it seem more ominous. The bookmarks on the video trove showed the J6 committee had access to the same footage, yet chose to show America only what suited its divisive narrative. There's no sugarcoating what happened that day. J6 was shocking and violent, she writes, or in parts, she writes. It remains a stain on the nation, but it was not an insurrection or a terrorist act. So basically, now we're over here having a discussion about the possibility, perhaps the very real possibility. I put nothing past these jokers and clowns and professional deceivers. I mean, when I say professional deceivers, I don't mean that. That's not even meant to be hyperbole. This is who these folks are. They have done this for long, long periods of time. Not this specifically, but this is how they operate. And so the allegation here, at least Carlson's team thought, wait a minute, we've been used to seeing video where there's all sorts of noises and screams and things like that, but we're not hearing that on this actual footage, which leads some to ask the question, and I'm simply reading the story here, passing this along to you. Did the J6 committee add sound effects to surveillance videos? And you think about this. Now, you've heard me say this before. Now, we're talking about a specific group of people. We're not talking about rank-and-file Democrats. In fact, if you're a rank-and-file Democrat, you and I have more in common, almost certainly, than you have with your party's radical leftist leaders. You do. We do. It's almost certain, unless you're a radical leftist or a very, very far left liberal, you have more in common with me and with the average American, the average conservative, the average Republican than you have with your leaders. And so, but the people that were involved in the January 6th committee, now this is another story that I just want to reference. Tucker Carlson, in that interview, I believe in the interview he had with Glenn Beck, he's on record telling Glenn Beck he was shocked to realize that the J6 committee members would intentionally lie to the American public. That's where this stands. So Tucker Carlson and his team watched the video. The J6 committee, according to the chair of the committee, didn't even watch the video. In fact, they may have spent more time potentially telling their people to edit the video. Again, I'm not making the allegation. I'm just painting the picture here. These folks may have spent more time telling their staffers, their interns, whoever else, maybe even Chuck Schumer's intern got in there when they were when they stopped looking for ways to for secret powers for Democrat Congresses. Anyway, so this is how it's played out. It looks like Tucker Carlson watched much more video than the people on the committee. Then you realize that these folks on the committee are what I call dramacrats. This was all for political consumption. Remember, no one was allowed to see these videos. Nancy Pelosi, Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who will tell you, who will tell me, tell the American people just how transparent, just how just there, you know, right there for everyone to see, operating in broad daylight. She wants us to believe that she's just, you know, doing things for the best interests of the American public, when in reality, she operated a House of Representatives that was deceitful. I mean, I would maintain no doubt about this whatsoever. So she doesn't let people see the video. They select what video that we do see. They didn't even watch it. They spent most of their time preparing, crying, like Adam Kinzinger. Kinzinger, up there during the J6 committee, spends more time preparing how he's going to, you know, break out in tears than actually making sure that the truth is told to the American people. And so this is what we're stuck with. Then we got the allegations that quite possibly they added sound effects. I mean, this is like, I was telling Oz before the show, this is like adding, I'm surprised they didn't add dramatic music, right, to the dun, 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 I don't know, something to make it sound more dramatic. Or, what's the name of the guy? I don't know the guy's name that does all the movie trailers. He gets paid bazillions of dollars for 30 words or whatever, in a land not far away, or whatever he says in these movie trailers. I mean, why don't they just add that? I mean, dramacrat, I think, is the most spot-on term of what we have been subjected to, what we will continue to be subjected to by these clowns and professional deceivers. This is what they want. They want the political narrative. They want this going into 2024. I told you yesterday, buckle up, because 2024 is going to make 2020 look like a walk in the park. 2020, in some ways, made 2016 look like a walk in the park. So we best be ready for what we're about to experience. There's people who are out there saying now that an indictment of President Trump may be around the corner. I mean, this we are walking through uncharted waters here. And again, not defending the things that happened on January 6th that should not have happened. But the narrative that we were force-fed, the narrative that we were incessantly told day in, day out, like just a consistent drumbeat, is not in reality, what happened. This was not an insurrection. Why does controlling the building, even if they were to take control of it, why does controlling that building means that the government has fallen into the hands of these clowns? Why does that even mean that that's the case? It's not reality. It is not reality. Now we got jokers out there comparing it. I retweeted one the other day. People saying that the two worst days in American history were September 11th and January 6th. And some people conclude that January 6th was much worse, they say. Much worse than September 11th. That's completely ridiculous. I don't know if some of these folks just were too young to understand, and if they don't care, if they're politically blind, if they're blinded by the rage they have for Trump, if they think that this is a winning narrative heading into 2024. I don't know all the reasons. I know some of the reasons. I'm not sure which one apply to every person, but I do know it's some mixture of those things, because you can't get there based upon fair-minded assessment of reality and logical, just a logical thinking process. You can't do it. September 11th, we lost nearly 3,000 people. People were, my goodness, friends, jumping out of buildings because of the intense heat created by terrorists. And these terrorists targeted innocent Americans at the World Trade Towers, the Pentagon, potentially the White House. They think that's where Flight 93 was headed. We had the people on board the aircrafts, the people working in the trade towers, the people working in the Pentagon. 3,000 people die. And they want to compare. It's ridiculous to think about. Stabbing, I mean, they stabbed, slit the throat. I don't mean to be too vivid in this description, but they slit throats of people on aircraft, stabbed them, overtook the airplane, and then rammed it into a building where people suffered. And then the buildings collapsed. And we have all the fallout from the firefighters who and other Ground Zero workers that were subjected to all the debris and cancer and just all the health problems that have come from this. And they're going to, it's beyond ridiculous. And we can say at the same time what happened January 6th as it pertained to the violent part. Not good. People who broke the law should face the consequences and all that. But to compare it, to say that it's even in the same universe as 9/11 or the Civil War. They've said that. Karine Jean-Pierre says the most at risk our democracy has ever been since the Civil War was January 6th. That is ridiculous. Absolutely asinine to say this. And then, of course, some people comparing it to Pearl Harbor. Again, just completely misinformed, uninformed, ignorant, stupid, potentially knowing better, but yet demanding that that's what it is. And as we begin to learn more about this, the whole thing begins to further unravel before our very eyes. We were subjected, as we said on this program from the very beginning, this was a performance. This was designed to be a political campaign to help Democrats, to hurt Republicans. They're going to use it again in 2024, my friends. Anyway, really, really, really long in this first segment. Say a few more words about this after the break, and then we are going to move on into a couple of other discussion areas as time permits. But I'm going to take a time out, my friends. Sit tight. You're listening to Conservative Not Bitter Talk. I'm your host, Todd Huff. Back in just a minute. Still getting used to the position of the microphone as I've switched sides with it anyway. Just a couple more things here on this January 6th commission, just the whole thing. Just the entire mess that we've been subjected to. The dramacrats running the show. It was 100%. The committee was 100% designed for political consumption. It was created for, well, to fundraise, to campaign. It was created to demonize Trump even further. Again, any reasonable and fair-minded person, when they listen to what Trump says on the ellipse back on January 6th, the 21, when he tells his followers, the people that are his supporters on January 6th, to peacefully and patriotically march to the Capitol building, that is not what people who are staging an insurrection say. That's just not the way it works. And you just think of everything that came from it. You have the committee itself. You have Republicans that were not allowed to be on the committee. And the only two that were taken were Liz Cheney and Kinzinger. There we go. Drew a blank. I try to block him out of memory, but Adam Kinzinger, I'm just teasing. I don't have anything personal. It's just, it's the idea that Tucker Carlson said he was shocked that they were intentionally lying. I hate to say this. To me, that is incredibly naive. I don't know how anyone could have watched these shenanigans and not seen through these things for what they are. I really don't. And I know I don't want to believe it. I don't want to believe that Democrats or Republicans, either one. I don't want to believe that they think some of these things, or, you know, the radical left hates our country. Both parties will campaign on issues. They won't really try to solve it. They will have these hearings for the purposes of, again, fundraising or campaigning, but they don't really often do anything. And so that's pathetic to me as well. So that's really, I'm already thinking about that. You know, if when they had this Hunter Biden investigation, for example, what are we going to do about it? If the things that looks like, you know, if some of these things that look suspicious or troubling about his laptop, and particularly the content, not that it's his laptop, but the content and what that might mean for the president of the United States, the current president of the United States, Joseph R. Biden, his father, or when he was vice president as well, what that means for our country and so forth. If we're just going to do that for the sake of raising money to try to have a few more Republicans in the House, then I got to tell you, I lose interest in this. We're in a fight for the survival of this constitutional republic. We need real leaders to stand up and to lead. And so we've been subjected to a sham. If you listen to this program, or if you independently thought about the January 6th committee, you knew from the beginning that that's exactly what we were being subjected to. Any real criticism or people who were going to be coming from a different side of the issue, they were not allowed on the committee. We had Kinzinger up there, and then you realize he was, you know, crying, which even at the time I thought was bad political theater. But now you look at all the pieces of this, and it even looks worse. And the allegations about potentially adding sound effects, the admission by the former chair of the committee that no one but staff apparently watched the videos. So now we have Tucker Carlson's team who have apparently watched more of the video than Adam Kinzinger, Liz Cheney, and the rest of these folks. It's pathetic. And it's sad because, you know, we talk about ideas on this program, and, you know, we're conservative, not bitter. You don't have to agree with me. You and I can get along, so much as it's up to me even if we disagree politically, even though you should agree with me, but that's another issue altogether. But that having genuine disagreements is one thing. But having people lie and deceive and manipulate and mislead the American people for the sake of personal and or political gain cannot happen in a free country. And that's what we've allowed to happen. And I'll admit that it's happened on both sides. It happens a lot more from the left than from Republicans, but it's happened, and we've been hoodwinked and, again, deceived, misled, whatever, by a whole bunch of different people. And that's what has to stop. And I think, surely to goodness, we can all agree on that. And I'm not asking anybody to think, I've never once said January 6th was, you know, that there was nothing. I've routinely from the beginning have always said, for those that have legitimately broken laws, they should pay the consequences. I mean, this is so simple to anyone who's fair-minded about this. But for those who are looking for an angle, those who are looking for a particular outcome, those who are looking for, again, the people who watch the performance to come to a certain conclusion, we shouldn't make room for these folks. They are not worthy of our votes, no matter if they agree with us politically or not. And I think a lot of people can agree with that. The problem is that there's so much politics of personality. There's so much angst and anxiety. There's so much, again, making everything personal, making people hate a particular candidate, that it oftentimes, it never gets down to the ideas. It becomes a popularity contest, or it becomes a contest where one person who's running for office is presented as an individual who cares about the people and taking care of those who are in most need, and the other person is the devil, effectively, is what we've come up with. And we've allowed this to happen to ourselves. And it's totally 100% avoidable if we stop listening and stop paying attention, stop giving respect and credence to these clowns who are deceiving us, be it in the media, be it in politics, be it in academia, wherever they find entertainment, wherever they find themselves. Anyway, timeout's in order, my friends. We're going to shift gears. Shift gears on the other side of the break. I want to talk a little bit about Matt Taibbi. Talk about the Twitter files, talk about free speech and all those sorts of things on the other side of the break, my friends. Sit tight, though. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back, my friends. So, I told you I wanted to shift gears here a little bit. We've talked a lot about the videos January 6th over the course of the past couple of days. By the way, I know we've got listeners here in lots of places now, but if you're listening on the radio in Denver, Dallas, Salt Lake City, or Knoxville, I should tell you that we're not, the program is on 5 days a week. So if you are only able to listen once a week, never fear, you can listen to the podcast. That's what I'm talking about these previous shows. If you want to hear those, you can just go to toddhuffshow.com/listen. You can subscribe to the podcast, whatever is best for you. But those shows are out there, and there's a digital archive of those if you want to check those out. So I want to talk here, and I'm just going to set it up this segment, but fortunately, the Republican Party won the House of Representatives. It was much closer than it should have been. It was disappointing, candidly. But nonetheless, what had to happen, what needed to happen, did happen. Republicans won control of the House. By winning control of the House, they can now actually do things, launch investigations, have hearings. Again, Are they just playing politics from with this to win favor and to raise money amongst their base? I hope not, but we should all be very, very aware of that. Anyway, so that is what's been able to happen. And remember too, when Matt Gaetz and Lauren Boebert and others in the Republican Party held out for some time before voting for McCarthy to be Speaker. I think some of them may have voted present. I can't remember exactly the vote, but I just basically they eventually gave in and accepted that McCarthy would be Speaker. But they got some concessions or some promises from McCarthy. And so there's a lot of pieces to that puzzle. But one of those things that happens from a Republican-led House of Representatives is the scenario we find ourselves in now, where we can actually have hearings on things that have been ignored or denied for some time. Just like last segment and the previous two segments, we talked about the January 6th tapes that were released. That did not happen because Nancy Pelosi did not operate a transparent House of Representatives. In spite of what she said, that's what she did. She operated under the cloud and cover of darkness while telling you, telling me, telling the American people it was so transparent and just runs so well with the American people's best interests at heart, which of course is complete hooey once we understand, just by understanding the January 6th stuff. Anyway, so another thing that was ignored, denied, and everything else was this problem that we have between big government, big tech, and censorship. Now, in loose terms, we can refer to part of this, I guess, expose, the process whereby the American people learned about some of the things that was happening, in particular between Twitter and the federal government. A lot of this stuff we find out through a reporter by the name of Matt Taibbi, and he has written and released lots of tweets and information that have been called the Twitter files. And so he was at a hearing on Thursday, yesterday, and he was there to testify about these things that should matter to every American. This should matter because the government is engaged in activities that threaten the liberty of the American people, that threaten the free speech of American citizens, that targets and censors people who disagree with government's official positions, and they are doing it not directly themselves. They are working through secret back channels to these big tech companies, or they have, in some examples, to effectively use big tech to do the dirty work. And then, of course, people will say, well, that's an individual company. You can't tell companies what they can and can't do. If someone's violating Twitter's terms of service or Facebook's terms of service or YouTube's or whomever, then that is kind of how they do this. And so I want to play, next segment, I want to play part of, maybe even a lot of, Matt Taibbi's opening statement before this committee, a hearing on the weaponization of the federal government on the Twitter files. I want to play this and talk about it in the time that we have left, because this is something that should get the attention of every single person listening to this program, and friends, every person who cares about this nation and liberty should be very, very concerned about this. We'll get to that on the other side of the break. Sit tight, my friends. You're listening to Conservative Not Bitter Talk. I'm your host, Todd Huff. Back in just a minute. Welcome back, my friends. I want to play a little bit again. As I mentioned last segment, this is a little bit of a soundbite from Matt Taibbi, who was testifying before Congress about the Twitter files, social media, big tech, censorship. And I just want you to listen to this. We're going to get through as much of this as we can in the time that I have remaining. But just listen to the picture being painted by Mr. Taibbi regarding what we're up against.
Chairman Jordan, Ranking Member Plaskett, members of the Select Committee, thank you for having me today. My name is Matt Taibbi. I've been a reporter for 30 years and a staunch advocate of the First Amendment. Much of that time was spent at Rolling Stone magazine. Ranking Member Plaskett, I'm not a so-called journalist. I've won the National Magazine Award, the I.F. Stone Award for Independent Journalism, and I've written 10 books, including four New York Times bestsellers. I'm now the editor of the online magazine Racket on the independent platform Substack. I'm here today because of a series of events that began late last year when I received a note from a source online. It read, "Are you interested in doing a deep dive into what censorship and manipulation was going on at Twitter?" A week later, the first of what became known as the Twitter Files reports came out. To say these attracted intense public interest would be an understatement. My computer looked like a Vegas slot machine, as the first tweet about the blockage of the Hunter Biden laptop story registered 143 million impressions and 30 million engagements. But it wasn't until a week after the first report, after Michael Schellenberger, Barry Weiss, and other researchers joined the search of the files, that we started to grasp the significance of this story. The original promise of the internet was that it might democratize the exchange of information globally. A free internet would overwhelm all attempts to control information flow.
That's
its
right.
Very existence a threat to anti-democratic forms of government everywhere.
But
what we found in the files was a sweeping effort to reverse that promise and use machine learning and other tools to turn the internet into an instrument of censorship and social control. Unfortunately, our own government appears to be playing a lead role. We saw the first hints in communications between Twitter executives before the 2020 election. When we read things like flagged by DHS or please see attached report from FBI for potential misinformation. This would be attached to an Excel spreadsheet with a long list of names whose accounts were often suspended shortly after. Again, Ranking Member Plaskett, I would note that the evidence of Twitter government relationship includes lists of tens of thousands of names on both the left and right. The people affected include Trump supporters, but also left-leaning sites like Consortium and Truthout, the leftist South American channel Telesur, the Yellow Vest Movement. That, in fact, is a key point of the Twitter files, that it's neither a left nor right issue. Following the trail of communications between Twitter and the federal government across tens of thousands of emails led to a series of revelations. Mr. Chairman, we summarized and submitted them to the committee in the form of a new Twitter files thread, which was also released to the public this morning. We learned Twitter, Facebook, Google, and other companies developed a formal system for taking in moderation requests from every corner of government, from the FBI, the DHS, the HHS, DOD, the Global Engagement Center at State, even the CIA. For every government agency scanning Twitter, there were perhaps 20 quasi-private entities doing the same thing, including Stanford's Election Integrity Partnership, NewsGuard, the Global Disinformation Index, and many others, many taxpayer-funded. A focus of this fast-growing network...
I've got to stop there. But that last part should really sink in and resonate. All of these three-letter acronyms in the government, DHS, FBI, you know the whole thing. They've all been involved in having a formal system to take in moderation requests that they would then send to these social media companies to do their dirty work, to step in and to actually do the censorship, and then to have some plausible deniability effectively is what his testimony is. So, got to take a break. Just out of time here today, my friends. Sit tight. Back in a minute. Welcome back, my friends. You know, I shared before when I started this program, I don't want to say I worried, but one of the things I was concerned about was knowing if I would have enough things to talk about on this program. Now the issue has become knowing what things to focus on. And sometimes it's hard. And sometimes even I make mistakes. But we are under assault from every conceivable direction. Every conceivable direction. The media, the agenda of the radical left, academia, entertainment, just the deep state or just big government in general, all over the place. And so one of those areas is big tech. So that's why we wanted to touch on that today. But folks, I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Thank you so much for listening. SDG.